This is CKLB, the voice of Den and Day. I'm Stacey Arden-Smith, and you're listening to Take the Road Less Traveled, but always wear good moccasins.
Lightning strikes once in your life. If this is love, I'm rolling the dice. Let it rain, cause we're on fire.
Hi, my name is Dal Sunyas from Seekasun. I am from Red Pheasant First Nation and the Chippewas of Naoshingigaming in Ontario. So I'm half Cree, half Ojibwe. Put those together, you get a superhero.
A really tall man.
Far too tall for the world, don't fit anywhere.
I've heavily been into sports for as long as I can remember. Like, we have known each other for 21 years. So how has the journey been so far?
Well, I mean, frankly, I feel like my journey with sport is essentially done, but like in The Godfather Part 3, where he's in the kitchen and he says, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. And that's kind of how I feel, because as I mentioned, I was on the national volleyball team for 15 years. And then I coached for years, different clubs and universities and colleges. And then I said, that's it. I want to wash my hands of it. Pretty much as soon as I did that, CBC called me up and was like, hey, you want to do the commentary for international volleyball? So I gave that a go. And I've been doing that for about 5 years now.
And how are you enjoying it? Has it brought you to some interesting places?
Well, I've seen a lot of interesting places. I pretty much went every cool place that I'd ever want to go to while I was playing, but doing the commentary, nowadays we just stay in Canada, and I'll either do it from Calgary or I'll fly out to Toronto to do it and do it in the big studio. And we actually just call the game that the International Volleyball Federation sends to us. And it's like this for every country now. The days of commentators following the team on the road, it's just since COVID, it's not cost effective, shall we say. Mm-hmm. But that being said, it allows me to do what I do, I suppose, which is be creative a little bit and flex my knowledge of volleyball all in one. So it's basically 2 hours of improv.
That is right up your alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't always. I got better at it. I was about to be fired for sure after my first year, and I could tell it wasn't really working. And then one game, I said to myself, you know what? Caution to the wind. Who cares? And I think I threw in like a Wu-Tang reference or something. And my partner, who does the play-by-play and I do the color, she looks at me with this look of like, what did you just do? And I said in my head, all right, well, that's it. I took a shot and I will be fired. And sure enough, that night I got an email from the CEO of CBC Sports. I'm like, well, there's the letter. And he said some stuff about the game. He was like, by the way, you did a little thing there. I was watching the game and you said a little something. Lean into that more. And the brakes were off. I had another game that weekend, and I just leaned into WWF references, Ninja Turtle stuff, just like hip-hop stuff, like crazy references from my youth. And what I realized is the more you personalize something, the more specific you make it, the more people are interested and buy in, and it feels like a personal relationship. So like doing that along with, you know, sharing the volleyball expertise that I have, it seems like it's been a good fit for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it. Going back to your incredible volleyball career, how did that start?
Oh, man. Well, how much time you got?
Well, we will be editing.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I mean, growing up in Red Deer, my brother and I mean, we played every sport. Bless my parents. Like, the mom and dad taxi was a real thing for them. There was a time where I was actually on 8 teams at one point. So I was trying every sport, everything I could. And I ended up landing on volleyball, mainly because I was terrible at it. And I enjoyed that challenge of like, I think I can figure this out. I think I can make this work. And all my friends are doing it. And it felt like such a fun new challenge. And it was a communal game. Whereas basketball and baseball and a lot of other sports that are team sports, they're, in my opinion, they're really individual sports, like parading as a team sport. So I found the sport in grade 9 and slowly got better. And then I played club volleyball after the school season, and then provincial team. I made the provincial team. It was the last cut, and there's my whole year. And then high school season came around again. So since grade 9, I've played essentially 12 months a year until I was 32 and my body exploded.
And then dadhood showed up, and then it's all downhill after that. Yep, I hear you.
Yeah, at that point, it's not about being big or like looking good in the mirror. It's like, am I good enough to chase my kid around? Because that's really all that matters at that point.
Yep. Those joints just go after that, especially when you gotta like bend down to pick them up and you're like, oh, there goes my back.
Exactly. I have 3 fully herniated discs in my back, so it's bone on bone. That kid gets born, it doesn't matter. Kid doesn't care, and it's not their problem that you're messed up, right? So you just have to find a way to be a good parent.
Definitely.
If you could tell, I'm in the thick of it. I got a 5-year-old.
Oh, totally. I'm past the thick of it, thank God. But now we're into teen years, which I think I kind of wish they were toddlers. I'd rather be running after a toddler than running after a teenager.
Fair enough. A little quicker now.
Yeah. At what point in your volleyball career did you know that you made it as a professional volleyball player?
I suppose once you start, I'll go a couple steps before that. I remember being on the provincial team when I was 16 and I was holding a volleyball in my hands right before a warm-up, and I was like, you know what? If I do this right, this ball could definitely pay for my college, and then who knows beyond that. So that was probably the point where I was like, okay, this is a good thing. I should lean into this thing that I'm excelling at and can essentially monetize. And then after university, once I went and played professionally, then it was clear. It's not like I was making a lot of money, but it's 100% buy-in. You have to be incredibly committed to be a professional athlete. So pretty much in my first year, when everything revolved around that practice every day or that game at the end of the week, that's when I knew, okay, I'm 100% a professional volleyball player.
And that must have been an intense feeling, because I can't even imagine the practices, the dietary restrictions, all the things that come with being a pro athlete.
Well, this is the thing. I think for the layman, those are the things that people think about. But in terms of dietary restrictions, you really don't think about all that, because you are burning so many calories. It's a matter of like, how do I get enough calories? Because you train 6 days a week, most countries. I mean, some countries that I played in, we were averaging 2 days off a month. And sometimes we're training 3 times a day. Like, you just need calories. Now, that being said, training that much is not good for you. And everybody needed surgery after that season, including me. But it's not a dietary thing. The thing that is the hardest is you're in a different country and they don't speak your language. The food does taste different. Let's say you go over there and you're 23 years old. Well, you're playing with guys in their 30s. You're playing with men who they don't care how you feel. All that matters is, can you do the job? Can you make our team win at the end of the week and keep getting sponsor money? Because I've had situations where I haven't been performing and the team hasn't been performing, and then the team straight up doesn't pay you. It's like the Wild West. That being said, these things don't exist as much anymore. Now there's far more regulations, but there is an incredible amount of pressure and stress put on players in a lot of places where they weren't even being paid. There were like months behind in payment. So I'd say that sort of thing is the most difficult. And the isolation. You're away from your friends. You're away from your family. They're all continuing on with their lives. And it's not their fault that they have no idea how difficult it is, because they're just continuing. You're halfway across the world in an 8-hour time zone difference. Like, you can't even talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. So this is why most players that are really talented athletes, they only make it 1 year, if that, professionally, because it's just so challenging outside the sport.
Yeah, especially if you are so used to having family around. Indigenous people, our family is everything.
Yeah. And you lose that. It's very challenging.
Exactly. I would like to talk about how you define success beyond volleyball.
I mean, that's a tough one, because within volleyball, I didn't achieve my ultimate goal, which was to go to the Olympics. you know, our team hadn't been to the Olympics since essentially the 80s. They did go in 92, but there's a different situation. So playing for 15 years and then having a career-ending injury, and then the team goes, you know, 3 months later for the first time. It was incredibly difficult to deal with, and honestly, it still is, you know. But you have to treat it like a death in the family. Otherwise, like, I know a lot of players who are still, like, stuck, you know?
Yeah.
So beyond sport, to think about the things my parents had to deal with to be alive, you know, not even to be as wildly successful as they both are, because both my parents are anomalies, really. To think about where they came from and what they had to deal with to then do their best and give me and my siblings the best shot that we could to then not only go to college and university, for me to be a professional athlete for so long, that is a wild success story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was able to do half of what I was able to do. So when I step back and I think about the ultimate goal I was trying to reach, which I fell just short of, just at the finish line, it is pretty successful. I try to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and I believe I read somewhere that you were the first Indigenous volleyball player for Team Canada. Was it?
Yeah, on the men's side, I believe there may have been a female player years before, but I'm not really sure. But
I mean, that's astounding all in itself, because I mean, we're not that old, and for you to have been the first, that's mind blowing.
I suppose. I guess so. Yeah.
That is a success story in my books, at least, to be the first.
Well, thank you. The part that frustrates me is there hasn't been an athlete since me, and I retired 10 years ago this summer.
Yeah, it definitely does take some time to be able to get the youth motivated. I have to agree on that.
Well, I mean, even beyond just the motivation, there's just so many things have to fall into place for it to happen.
Yeah, an opportunity. It's really hard for Indigenous people to have the opportunities, especially when you live in remote places.
I think that's the biggest hurdle, and you can look at it either way, like geographical issues, which then translates to a financial issue because it's so expensive. You know, growing up in a relatively urban town, I was able to play all those 8 sports, whereas, you know, that's just not possible if you live in a really remote community. You know, people are doing their absolute best, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of really good work, but like I said, so much has to fall into place for you, for an athlete to find the sport that they're going to excel at. But yeah, it's very tricky.
Mm-hmm. And so for the next generation, what is your words of wisdom to them?
Well, good question. when I go and do camps, I've changed the target. Like when I first started doing camps, my thought was, I'm going to find the next athlete to play on the national team because they're there. And it is true, the physical ability is there. But I had to change my target to, how about we just make sure these kids have a good day? How about we just keep them safe today? How about when they go home, they've burnt some energy and they feel good about doing physical activity? And they were a little vulnerable with something that was new. I think that's the door. Like, you have to have that before you could have anything else. And because I'm with these groups for like maybe a day, maybe a couple days, that's the best that I can hope for. And what I tell the kids is, okay, maybe you like volleyball, maybe you like basketball, soccer, doesn't matter. Just keep doing it. Keep having fun. Whatever it is you do, you need to be adaptable and resilient. So, for example, I thought I was going to, you know, play in the NHL, or I was going to play in the NBA, and then I found volleyball. I'm like, okay, well, this is my sport. And then once I became a pro, so many unexpected challenges hit you, and you have to stay adaptable and resilient. And that's the only way that you can find any sort of success, because it's absolutely not an A to B road. It is very much a winding road to find any sort of anything anyone would recognize as success.
And my last question for you is, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
When I was young, I thought I was going to go into psychology. And I did. I studied psychology in university. I did think it was going to be my profession, because that's actually what my mother does. She has a law degree, but then she went into psychology. And I still think about it a lot. It's very, very interesting to me. So I think that's what I probably thought I was going to do.
Well, psychology is fun. It was my favorite in university as well.
tonight.